All right, there we go. I got a thumbs up from the back. All right, I'm going to talk from the wrong side. And the reason I'm going to talk from the wrong side is because I need this display that's in the podium in front of me. For those of you who don't know, I'm gonna let the secret out of the bag, right? I'm going to move the curtain so we can see behind the wizard. There's a little iPad up here, and this shows exactly what's going on back here. So that way, I don't have to stand here and turn around and talk to the screen. Sometimes that would be easier, because there's some pretty staunch faces out there that are hard to talk at. So talking to the screen might not be the worst thing. Okay, so I want to go over just a little bit about the preacher. As you notice, I'm not the preacher. If you're visiting with us, by the way, I'm sorry. Let me introduce myself. My name is Keith Fowler. I'm just one of the members here. I'm one of the elders here. I am not the regular preacher, although I have been known to run on in time or two. But then I also don't speak much because my background is electronics. And I don't know if you know about engineers and electronic guys and computer guys. They usually don't spend a lot of time standing in front of people talking. They do a lot of time staring at your shoes. Don't like making eye contact, right? So that's my background. That's where I come from. I'll do my best to blend the two worlds that are me into something that you guys can understand. So the process is Dave's retired. Dave's gone. It's kind of like a breakup. It's kind of like a divorce. It's a good one, though. He's going on to do some really good work. But during that period of time, you need some time to recover. You need some time to heal. You need some time to think about that. That's how come we haven't been actively driving towards trying to introduce new preachers to you to see who we want to bring on board as our new preacher. We want to give it some time. Some of the folks that we've talked to have told us that it takes a month for every year that a preacher's been on board. Well, I don't think we're ready to wait for 3 years. We're not ready to do that. But we are ready to take a little bit of time. We're going to have Grady King is going to come back and speak with us again. He already spoke with us once. He's with an organization with the Church of Christ that they go out and they help churches figure out who they are and what they need and what would be best for them. Although they do that by making us make decisions, making us look inside, make us make decisions on what we need for us. So Grady's going to be back, and you'll see him again. And here in a couple of months, you'll start seeing a little more movement towards actually going out and finding a minister, doing interviews, and going through that process, going to visit them where they speak normally. So you'll start seeing that kind of thing. I just didn't want you to think that now that Dave's gone, everything stopped. We have a plan in place, but the plan is a slow plan. The plan is a deliberate plan. We're not going to just start dating the next person that comes along and get into a relationship that may or may not be right for us. We're going to do this, we're going to think about it, and we're going to do it consciously. All right, so you have to click on the PowerPoint so that it's the active screen. There we go. So this morning we're going to look at this scripture. We're going to look at study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now this comes from the King James Version. It's kind of tough English. That's not exactly the way we talk anymore. We don't use these words. Now, if you grew up reading the King James, you get it. This makes a lot of sense. But if I go and I say this to my son, thou art the greatest, right? These words don't really mean a whole lot to him because it's like, wow, we don't talk like that. Well, this morning we're going to dig deeper into this passage. And then to look at this passage, we're going to look at different versions of the Bible. We're going to go through here, and I'm also going to teach you a little bit about fact-checking. You know, fact-checking, we've heard a whole lot about fact-checking lately. We've heard a whole lot about fake news lately, right? We're going to do a little bit of fact-checking as well as we go along the way. And then hopefully by the end of our time here this morning, we're all going to be just a little bit smarter, right? And that's part of our goal. Our goal is we're coming here to worship God, and then we're going to leave here a little bit smarter than we arrived. So to that point, let's start out. Please pick up your Bibles. Hopefully you brought one with you. If you didn't bring one with you, there's one provided for you in the seat. Now, if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up. The first couple of pages, there's something in there that's going to tell you what version of the Bible you're looking at. When you're looking at what version the Bible is, you can go further down on that same page. It'll tell you when that was written. I'm holding an NIV in front of me here. This NIV is a 1984. That's when this one was written. Anybody have a King James? King James, turn of the century, 1900. There's all kinds of them out there. And that's okay. That's not wrong. That's not bad. Some are a little easier to read. Some are not so easy to read. Why are some easier to read? It's because of my background. It's because of where I come from. It's from my experiences. So if I say the word sell, what comes to mind? Depends on how old you are. Right? If you're a teacher, this is what comes to mind. If you're a product of the 50s, when he just started learning about how the body really worked and all that stuff, they started teaching it in schools, that's what sell means. If you're a product of the 80s, that's what sell means. That's what I think of when I hear the word sell. Now when I go ask my son, Doug, what is a sell? That's a cell. Cell phones. That may be an old one. Little do we know, they've been around since the 90s in high circulation. They actually came out in the 70s. All right, let's go to another example, a cloud. Cloud's a little white fluffy thing in the sky, right? How many computer people do I have out here? High-tech computer nerds, what's a cloud? Cloud is online storage, is computing. It's a cyber cloud. It's a different thing. So our experiences make us see things differently, hear things differently, interpret things differently. It's kind of amazing. The folks who translated the Bible did the best they could do with the English that they had to the people they were writing to. Because in the 1800s, these and thous made a lot of sense to them because that was their normal language. That's the way they spoke. That's what they understood. In 2000s, unless you're going to a Ren Fair or something, these and thous aren't part of the normal conversation. So we're going to take a look at some different versions of this passage right here. Study to show yourself approved, or study to show thyself approved unto God. This is the King James Version. The NIV, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. It's the New American Standard. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Or the Orthodox Jewish Bible, do your best to apply yourself. They all say it differently, but when you put them all together, it's all saying the same thing. Because if you're being diligent to do something, you're applying yourself. If you're studying, you're doing your best to present yourself. So I think we can understand this a little better if we look at a bunch of different versions. And not necessarily these, I just picked a handful of them going through to demonstrate what this all means to us. The next part of the passage, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Well, I think most of us could probably figure that out, even though it's old English. A worker that does not need to be ashamed in the NIV. And New American Standard, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. I think that's pretty obvious. We don't need to be ashamed to be Christians. Don't put your head down. Don't stare at your toes, even though that's really easy to do. Or, oh, if somebody asks you, what do you believe? Just say it. Just say it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't run and hide. There's no big secret to it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This one's a little tougher. I don't know about you, but dividing is not something I want to do to the word of truth. Those who correctly handle the word of truth, NIV. Accurately handling the word of truth. Correctly teaching the word of truth, home standard. So when you put all four of these together, now it paints a different picture, doesn't it? Paints a different picture of what we're reading. Paints a different picture of our understanding. See, I bet a lot of you thought dividing means splitting something in half. I did too, because that's what dividing means to me today in this period of time in my life and through my experiences. Right now I'm training a new supervisor at my job. Not to do my job. Well, to do the job I'm doing. For those of you who don't know, I've bounced around a couple of times. There's a lot of shakeup in the city within the Public Works Department. Public Works Director went on to go to another job. My boss went to go do his job for a while until the new director could be appointed. And then the fleet supervisor left, so I went over there to take care of that. My lead worker is doing my old job. So there's a lot of us that are in different seats. So finally they hired a new mechanic supervisor to come in and take over. The neatest thing about that is I've been at the city for 11 years. I see things a certain way. I'm kind of set in my way. My patterns are set. He comes in with a fresh new outlook. He sees things all differently, which is really refreshing for me because now I can see things a little bit the way he sees them because he says it. Well, one of the first things that he tackled was we have a parking problem at our office. And by parking problem, I mean there ain't no place to park. So he looks at it, and he talks to people, and he goes around, and he investigates, and he goes and does all the math and the numbers and everything, and he comes back to me, and he goes, you know what? He goes, you guys don't have a parking problem. The problem, you guys have a walking problem. Right? Nobody wants to walk from the far away parking spots. Everybody's complaining because the one next to the door is taken. So maybe while we're reading the Bible, maybe we don't have an understanding problem. Maybe we have a translation problem. Maybe we have a translation problem. So what I would like to leave with you this morning is, let's read through the Bible. You can get different translations. Because there's no rocket science to it. You don't have to be this in-depth super scholar to understand the Word of God as it was laid out for us. But you may not grasp it if you're only reading King James, if you're only reading NIV, if you're only reading the Holmes. It may not all sink in, or you may understand it a little differently than what was actually intended. So that's my number one takeaway for today. Use different versions of the Bible to help you understand and help you read through. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about fact-checking. I'm going to go through some of these things, and these are things that we've all heard our entire life. Well, most of us have heard our entire life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a pretty familiar passage, right? Red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. Huh. Wonder why that would be in the Bible. Or is it? Well, we're going to do a little fact-checking here in a second. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. I heard this a lot when I was younger, when I was growing up. I don't hear it so much anymore. But I heard this a whole lot when I was younger. God helps those that help themselves. It's got to be in there somewhere. God will not give us more than we can handle. All right, so let's do some quick fact-checking on these. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. His one and only Son. whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. It's in the Bible, right? True. John 3:16. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." Well, granted it's in the Bible, but that's not a teaching of the Bible. That's a chastisement in the Bible. Because Jesus is telling them, you people know how to tell the weather, but you cannot tell what's going on here and today. Matthew 16:2. Where the Scripture speaks, we speak. And where the Scriptures are silent, we are silent. I've heard that from the pulpit. I've heard that preached as a child. Guess what? That's Thomas Campbell, 1809. He was giving a lecture to a group of reformists, and he was asked a question that wasn't directly addressed in the Bible. This was his response to the audience. So we kind of need to be careful, because this is not Scripture. This is something a man said. God helps those who help themselves. Think it's there? Nope. It's part of Aesop's fable. Hercules and the Wagoneer. That's part of a fable. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Absolutely true. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You see, the world would have us to believe that a lot of stuff that is said that uses churchy words or is said by a preacher is gospel, that it came out of the Bible. That's what the world would want us to believe. But do you think God wants us to believe that he only helps those who help themselves? That sounds like something that comes from Satan to me. Because our job is to do God's will, not to help ourselves. Now, are we to count the cost? Absolutely. You don't want to tear down your barns and not have enough money to build the new ones, even though you had perfectly good barns. We have examples of that. But just to blanketly say that God helps those that help themselves, where's the reliance on God if we do that? All right. I'm going to leave you all with some homework. This is really tough. I know it's tough. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to fact check the statement, "This too shall come to pass." I recently heard this on television with a televangelist. He used this. Is it true? Is it not true? "This too will come to pass." Also, I want you to read Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Read that. Read it in as many different versions as you can get your hands on. And see what you come up with. Now, I'm going to challenge you with this, and I'm also challenging you with responding back to me. You can either corner me and tell me your answers. You can email them to me. You can call me. I don't care. But I would like each and every one of you to get back to me and go, "Hey, that's right. That's not right. That's wrong. That's not wrong. This is what I got out of that scripture." Everybody write it down? Everybody need Donna to email them to the blanket email that goes out to everybody? I could probably do that too. See a couple cell phones, grab your cell phones, take a picture of the screen. I'll get out of it. We don't normally give out homework. I don't know why. Because we all need to be in the scripture. Going back to my first takeaway of today, you need to be reading the Bible. The best way to understand the Bible is to be in the Bible and read the Bible. I'm currently getting ready to take a test for my amateur radio exam. And I'm going to move up to the next level. And if things work out well, I'm going to take Nick down there with me, and he's going to take his first exam. So you don't go in there blindly, though, do you? Getting ready for these tests, what do? You study. You read some material. You get with somebody who already knows the material to try to help you understand it. The Bible is no different. The message of God is no different. We have it all written out for us, but we do need somebody to help us through it sometimes. And sometimes we need to look at a bunch of different versions so that we can get a better understanding of that word that's trying to come across. The second thing is, doesn't matter what I'm up here saying, fact check it. Doesn't matter who's up here. It could be anybody. It could be a preacher that we're trying out in the future. It could even be Grady, who we all look up to because this is what he does. Fact check him. Check it out. Make sure what he's saying is truth. Make sure what he's saying is in the Bible. And how are we going to be able to do that? Read. Read your Bible. Read different versions of your Bible. Some of us can't read that well. Listen to it. Many, many websites have free Bible audio books. Just listen to them. That's the way you learn. All right. I know this wasn't super inspirational today. It's not super in-depth on some heavy, heavy gospel. But that's the message I have for you today. Don't forget, get that do your homework, get it back to me, and we'll talk about it. If there's anything I can do for you, if there's anybody that needs prayers or anything else, come forward now as we stand and sing.
Well, don't melt today. Try to stay cool. It was good that we were here. Let's pray as we're dismissed. God.